Welcome to the Life Begins at Midlife podcast, where we pop the champagne to celebrate the unexplored joys and endless adventures that await us in the midlife. Flipping the script on what it means to hit those fabulous 40s, 50s and beyond. Because here, we don't believe in midlife crises, only midlife revolutions. Reminding you that the only thing we're letting go of at midlife is the notion that it's all downhill from here. Nope, we're here to climb higher, dream bigger, and laugh louder. Each week, we'll dive into the myths, share the truths, and unlock the secrets to making the midlife years your best years yet. From rediscovering lost passions to embarking on new adventures, we're covering it all. Expect candid conversations with inspiring guests who've turned their midlife years into their most dynamic chapter yet. We're talking to everyone from entrepreneurs who've launched successful startups, from their kitchen tables to adventurers who decided age is just a number when it comes to climbing mountains or sailing the seas. So if you've ever found yourself pondering, is this all there is? Or you're just eager to embrace the richness of midlife with both arms wide open, then you, my friend, are in the right place. Grab your favorite drink, get cozy, and let's show the world that life doesn't just begin at 20, it begins again at midlife. And remember, in the Life Begins at Midlife podcast, the only rule is to live confidently, love unconditionally, and laugh uncontrollably. Let's get started. So hello and welcome to today's episode of Life Begins at Midlife. We have the amazing Enna Bautista in the studio today. And I'd like to welcome her and give her the opportunity to tell us a little bit about who she is and what she's been up to. So welcome, Enna.
Hi. Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. And I'm going to go straight into introduction. My name is Enna Bautista. I'm a mindset and energy coach for go-getters, high achievers, for people who really want to kind of, who really keep going at it. And, you know, like they're fighters. And mostly with entrepreneurs, business owners who are really big, high achievers and who are currently experiencing a sort of a midlife crisis of business and life. A lot of things are changing up for them and they are reevaluating their choices. They're rethinking. They're looking at their lives and the past and thinking how they want to move forward with their lives and with their business. And I help them, guide them through that process of rediscovery and unpacking all of the beliefs that they have taken on, other people's expectations, and help them find what is actually theirs.
Sounds like very powerful work that you're doing with the people out there.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, we mentioned before we came on to the podcast about reclaiming your identity.
Yeah, I think that very much happens at the same time as people start going through that. I wouldn't say midlife crisis. I would say midlife elevation, because they kind of start overlapping. And what I have observed is that when you get to a certain age, and with the maturity, with that age comes maturity and better knowing of yourself and understanding of yourself and the world. And of course, maturity in the business, you start to look at things in life and start wondering, okay, what is it that I really want? What is it in this life that I have kind of stumbled into experience and stumbled into certain season of life without even realizing that it is happening? You know, it's just kind of like subconsciously there were so many expectations, and you find yourself in life really as if many other people made choices for you, you know, like as if a lot of it wasn't by your own choice. And when it comes to reclamation of identity and what I focus on and the process that I have gone on through myself, is that you start really looking at getting to know yourself, really who you are, and examining all of the things that you have kind of put on the back burner, that you have deprioritized, all the hobbies and all the quirky behaviors that you have tamed down and toned down just so you can be more kind of palatable to others. And of course, I say this without judgment, because to an extent, a lot of women and a lot of people who have, grown and in the patriarchal society have learned to do that, to be able to kind of fit in. So this reclamation of identity is about finding all of the parts of yourself that you have toned down and, hidden, forgotten, especially during, like, myself, when I became a mom. It's like, as soon as I gave birth, I only became a mom. Everything else kind of fell away. And it took me a while. My son is now 6 years old. It took me a while to get to this stage where I am reclaiming all of those identities that I have kind of let go. The sensual part of myself, the fun and flirty and the really powerful masculine one. It's just like there were so many parts of myself that I have abandoned, that I have denied myself expressing because, oh, now I am a mom. I need to behave in a certain way. I need to do certain things. And this is what is expected of me, and everything else, it just like fell away. And bit by bit, I have given myself permission to claim and own all of those parts, because I am more than just a mom. It's not like overnight I have forgotten how to be Anna who has fun and goes out and, dances with my friends. It's just like I had to really fight for that part of myself.
Yeah, I think it's something that, we've all been through. I know I've been through that as well, where, you feel that, you have to conform to what everybody else expects and the way that everyone else expects you to behave as a mum, to go and be flirty as a mum, it would be like sometimes can be frowned upon. It's like, oh, how can she be doing that?
Yeah.
And
how dare she?
You're not intending it to be anything. It's just who you are. And if people take it up as being whatever their interpretation of it is, that's their issue. You're not intending it to be, I like you, let's take this further. It's just a bit of a fun, bit of banter. Like some people have a different kind of banter. You and I will see that as being, a kind of a banter, but not anything.
I think that flirtiness and seductiveness, not necessarily in communication with other people. It's just like the oozing that energy when you dress up, when you go out, when you are even with your own self, like flirtiness and seductiveness with your own self. It does not have to be with anyone else outside. It's just simply embodying that energy and allowing yourself to remind yourself again of that, because a life does not stop at midlife. It does not stop when you get married. You did not become just this one-dimensional person when you get married and when you get to a certain age or when you give birth. Absolutely. We're multifaceted.
Absolutely. And if you take it back to, say, when you met the marriage partner, you were a certain way. You know, you were probably your flirty self, the outgoing self, the dancing self, the person that would be dressing up and going out. But then somehow, when we find that partner, often we allow ourselves to be like dulled down, and we don't, you know, maybe because I don't know what it is, for some reason they might not like us to be as outgoing as what we were when we met them. But then I'm thinking, well, why did you want to be with us if you don't want us to be like that now? It's like,
and even if it doesn't come, I think, directly from the partner, I think there is this level of expectation that we have grown up with, this kind of messaging that when you hit a certain age, when you hit certain life milestone, that you need to start dressing up and behaving in a different way. So for an example, there's this sort of expectation that once you become a married woman, or once you become a mom, this is how you should be behaving, and that's it. You know, like, it doesn't even have to come from it. You might have a supportive partner, but there's this wider societal expectation of that.
True. Yeah. It was quite interesting with my mum. When I turned 50, she sent me a message and said, "You don't look anywhere near 50. And I thought, well, if I looked at a picture of her when she was 50, she had the curly hair, the purple rinse, and she was behaving completely different then what I'm behaving now at the same age. And I was thinking, how life has changed. But I have consciously made that effort to not be railroaded into that kind of, because even if
into a stereotype. Yes. And I think
on the TV now, it's like the over 50s life insurance, they're all the gray-haired ladies with the purple rinse, and I'm thinking, I'm 50, but I'm not anywhere near ready to be adopting that kind of lifestyle, you know.
And I think it that comes a lot down to stereotypes, I just want to emphasize that this is in no way judgment for anyone who chooses that kind of, like, if this is what feels right for someone, that is. But what I want to put an emphasis on is that oftentimes we choose certain things because of these stereotypes and a societal expectation of us to fit into a certain box when we reach certain milestones. And my work focuses on really examining the reasons why we are choosing certain things like that. Because many people might say, oh, I don't want this. I don't want to dress sensually because I just don't like it. And my one thing that I always want to uncover is, why is it that you do not like it? What is it, you know, when did you make that decision that you did not like it? Is it your own decision, or whether it is a message that you are shamed into feeling that way? I remember one story. I'm going to tell you a story. I remember going out and meeting one amazing, amazing woman. And I had a dress, and I was wearing heels, and we met, and I was saying, oh, it's so good to meet you. And we're kissing, hugging. And she was saying, oh, you look amazing. You're so sensual and sexy. That could never be me. And, you know, like, when she said that, it was something that it instantly made me wonder, why could it never be you? It's like, when did you make that decision? And this is what I do when I work with clients. When did you make that decision that it could never be you? And it's like, in that conversation, as if she didn't even allow herself to ponder whether that could be her or not. It's like automatically disregarded that option for herself. And when I work with people, I always try to figure out, what is it that made you think that way, that this is automatically something that you wouldn't never want to embody. It's like, why?
Because sometimes they might want to, she might have wanted to. Oh, if only I could.
Yes, yeah.
She felt that there was some kind of limitation stopping her from being able to do that.
Yes, and I think oftentimes we say such things on outside, you know, on the outside, we communicate it to others, but there's often the deep down a voice within us that, you know, I really want that. I wish this could be me. I wish that I could wear something like this. Or I know I want something more, but they kind of start squashing that voice within. And I, in the work that I do, I try to help people to really figure out what is that voice within them, the, of their true desires that they have been kind of pushing down, and to listen to those whispers and try to unpack what are, what made them make those decisions. What is the internal language that they're using towards themselves that is stopping them from experiencing more than what, you know, more than they are right now?
Absolutely, because there's so much to life, and you know, of our lives, we have got the opportunity, because often our children are older, or maybe even some of us have moved out of home, and or the, if they're still with us, they are able to do a lot for themselves. So it gives us an opportunity, that space to find ourselves again, and to have the opportunity to bring back the things that we enjoyed, or add new things as well. You don't have to always bring back the old. You can find something new that entices you, and that you've been wanting to do as well.
Yes, I think a lot of people, when they reach that stage, midlife, you come there, as I talked about that maturity, I would say, it's like you see yourself, you look at back at some of the things that you used to do, and you think, oh, if I had the wisdom that I have right now, I would have done things differently. I would have chosen a different path. And that's what I talk about, the maturity and wisdom that comes with this age. And oftentimes, you know, like there are, you find yourself in empty nesters. Children have grown up, and all of a sudden, there's this, all of these opportunities that they have opened up, and you have no other choice but to look at your life and look at yourself and think about, okay, what is it that I want from my life? And a lot of the times, people who have dedicated themselves to their families, to their children, find themselves at midlife wondering, oh, what the heck, like, I've done, where has my life gone? And I know that there is more to life, but they cannot find their own identity, because the identity that they have associated for such a long time is no longer, you know, they're not fulfilling it any longer. So yeah, I help them find themselves amongst that, you know, everyone else's noise and everyone else's expectations.
Absolutely. So if someone's listening to this today, and they resonate with what you're saying, and you know, they would really, really like to go, you know, listen to that little voice inside of them, but they are, you know, they've still got so much baggage on top have you got any kind of advice for them? How can they take that first step to actually, you know, get onto that journey?
I mean, there are different avenues that you could take, but I think being, perhaps taking a journal and starting to really, through the journal, expressing, allowing themselves, you know, just start up on a page and start right asking yourself a question: what is it that I really, really want? And allow themselves to be honest, and to, for the pen and to hand and the hand to speak. And if you don't know what to write in the beginning, just keep asking yourself and keep asking until, and write whatever first comes to your mind. And after you finish a page, probably there will be a lot more that will start coming out. What I have found is that when I start writing, even if I start with, I don't know what to write, or I don't know what I want, just the simple action of writing it out starts the stream of consciousness and starts the stream of expression, you know, and allowing yourself to express that. That's one thing. If, for an example, you're not really clear on what is it that you want, you can start by asking yourself that and really playing with your consciousness. There is a beautiful, I would say, connection between the handwriting and the subconscious.
Yeah, and also to know that it doesn't have to be perfect sentences. It doesn't
have to be. No, no. And to be honest, yes, I've seen people.
Words on a page. And
yes, it can be drawing. It can be, it does not have to be like a sentence or a diary, how you would write a diary. You can take a page, you can draw, you can write bullet points, you can write phrases or a word that symbolizes that what you actually desire. It does not have to be full sentence. For me, that's how it works, but I know it doesn't work for everyone in the same way, but just allow yourself. And sometimes for people it works by really just voicing it out, you know. You can say, what is it that I want, and just speaking it out, you know, allowing your voice to express it.
Absolutely.
Because there is such immense power when you allow yourself to vocalize it, because oftentimes we suppress it and push it down and never give ourselves the permission to voice it out, because we think, oh, that's never going to happen, or something like that.
Absolutely. And because we've pressed it down so long, it might take a bit of time to bubble up. And
oh, yes. Oh,
allow ourselves that, you know, writing just questions or whatever comes to mind, you know, the sky's blue, whatever it is, I've got to go and fetch the children in a minute, whatever comes to mind, just write that, but keep asking yourself the question, you know. Yeah. And at some point either that'll have bubbled up and you'll start having all those thoughts and feelings yeah. coming through.
Yeah. I think it's also sometimes it can also be helpful to say, oh, this is not what I want, and start with that. I don't want this. So if you do not want a life that looks like this, what is the opposite of that? Or what is it from that you can take away? And how would your life look like if you took that part that you don't want away?
Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes
what if I, you know, could do this? What would that look like as well?
Yes, yes, yes. If I connected to the version of myself in the universe that has it all and that does not have all of the obstacles that I have right now or all of the challenges that I perceive right now, what would that unlimited version of myself want and have? How would that look like? Because that takes you away from the challenges and everything in this worldly, I would say, and everything that is in your environment that is not allowing you to have that, or that is kind of an obstacle to that. And it takes you in the energy of limitless possibilities. And it doesn't matter how irrational that is. We're not looking for irrational. We're just looking for uncovering what is deep, what are the unexpressed desires within us.
Absolutely. And then that then allows us to then choose, you know, what direction we're going to take, and what's the next tiny step. And that's all it is, because that's what the journey is. It's one step after the next step. It's not thinking that you're going to go from where you are now to that ideal life within, you know, a blink of an eye. But it's the journey, it's the fun of uncovering as you're going along, you know.
And allowing yourself to enjoy every single stage of your life, however, you know, even the transition period, and really savoring the things that you do have right now.
Absolutely. And that's an important thing, because I think we can all think of things that we can, you know, that can make us smile, even if we are in a situation that we might not be completely happy in. There will be little pockets of times where we can find that time, and we just didn't expand on it.
Yes, definitely. I think there are many different approaches, and I feel that defining what is that desire within you is one of the first things to start. And then you just go from there. Identify what is the challenge, what is the friction point, what is causing the friction in or an obstacle for you to achieving that.
Absolutely.
Whether it is external circumstances or internal language, internal belief system, the habits, you know, it does not have to necessarily be external circumstances. Sometimes it is just the language that we use with ourselves, the limitations that we have accepted as our own, habitual ways of thinking, you know. Just like with that story, oh, that could never be me. It is a habitual way of thinking, because it's, you know, it's a habit to think in a in that way, because she has thought that many, many, many times over and didn't even pause to think. So start thinking about what are those belief systems or habitual ways of thinking that you can observe in your life, that you don't even pause, that you completely disregard certain things for yourself. Where are you denying yourself things that, without even actually thinking whether it is something that you want?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that gives them something to look at and to work.
Yes, of course. With,
because, you know, it's, as you said, it is a journey, it is a process, but it's
It's a worthwhile process. I would say it's a worthwhile process. And I know I wrote something yesterday. It's like, I know that a lot of people fear of what it would be the next step, and worry whether they could do things on their own, whether they could do things differently. And, you know, sometimes that the challenge that we know is much more comfortable than the challenge that we don't know. And they stop themselves from making progress, stop themselves from making those difficult decisions to do something differently, to move to a different place, to change up their career, to, you know, distance themselves from a certain people, because they fear that it's going to be so difficult. And when I was writing, like, yes, it is difficult to take yourself out of that comfort zone, but you're already efforting, you're already putting in the hard work to push down all that you want to feel, all that you want to experience. You're already doing all that hard work to deny yourself and to, you know, not to deny yourself all those things. You're already doing the work. The difference is the temporary discomfort of getting outside of the comfort zone and doing that inner work and making those new decisions. It's just that this is temporary until you learn how to, you know, be in that a new space versus this one, because this one can go on for years and years.
Absolutely. It's about creating that new habit. It's like any new habit.
Yeah.
It does feel a little bit uncomfortable when you first start, but then soon it becomes so familiar that you wondered how you could even have done anything in the old, you know, the old way. So
yeah, yeah, So you're already doing the difficult part. If you're worrying it's going to be difficult, it's going to be hard, or, you know, you're already doing the difficult part.
Yeah.
You're already doing the hard work.
Excited about if you're doing something that makes your heart happy than if you're keeping yourself feeling unhappy.
Exactly. Yeah.
So on that note, I'm going to say thank you very much for joining
us. You're welcome. It was my pleasure.
It's been lovely speaking to you. And I'm sure that, you know, what we have spoken about will definitely be able to help quite a few people out there. Because I know that we've both been on our own journeys of
what we've spoken about.
So it's been lovely having you. And thank you very much.
And thank you. Thank you for having me.
As we wrap up another episode here at Life Begins at Midlife, we want to take a moment to extend a heartfelt thank you to our sponsor, Jackie Bourne, for Purpose Unleashed. Jackie's commitment to empowering individuals on their journey of self-discovery and transformation truly aligns with the spirit of our show. Whether you're navigating the challenges of midlife, seeking clarity on your next steps, or simply looking to live a more fulfilled life, Purpose Unleashed offers the guidance, tools, and support you need to turn your aspirations into reality. For those of you feeling stuck or at a crossroads, remember, it's never too late to redefine your path and embrace the life you've always dreamed of. Visit Purpose Unleashed website to discover how you can start your transformative journey today. Let Jackie be your guide to a more vibrant, purpose-driven life. You can find this link to the website in the show notes below. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in and sharing your time with us. Remember, every day is a new opportunity to grow, to love, and to make a difference. Until next time, keep striving, keep dreaming, and keep listening.